For the final time, welcome back to the podcast. As always, you're here with your host Hoop, along with the I forgot it, Zany and the infamous ZZ Huncho.
It's been that long.
We're back.
So back. We're so back.
We're back, man.
I think we got to address the elephant in the room. Where have we been, and why is there a third co-host again? So why don't we go over everything? I mean, if you've clicked on this episode, I think you can see now that we are no longer the podcast. We have rebranded. Yes, two reasons. The main reason being we are now independent. We're independent, and we cannot afford a lawyer for a certain Lakers player in case he gets mad. so we're now, and we made sure Hoop went and got the trademark for Yam Time, so we're legally safe.
Okay? Shout out my lawyer, Amy.
Shout out the lawyer. Okay. And two, obviously, you know, we're not gonna get petty. We're not gonna bring up past problems or whatever. All we're gonna say is the podcast was signed by a different label. Obviously, we had a fallout where things just didn't work out, and then me and Hoop were kind of left in a gray area for a bit, and it was just a rough time for both of us, I guess, in terms of like how much things we had stacked up. So we understood that it was best to step away for a bit and figure things out, and then obviously we reconnected. I mean, me and Hoop are always in contact the whole time. We weren't like not talking, but we reconnected the pod, and our one condition was obviously we got to bring back, you know, a special face who's with us here today. I'm going to give them both the floor to talk about their perspective of it, of course. And we're going to have a small segment at the end of this episode. First 10 minutes are just going to be us explaining things because you guys deserve the explanation. But essentially, we don't want you to think that this rebrand is going to mean that we're redoing everything. We're literally doing the exact same episodes we used to do when it was the three of us, you know, the fun banter, where it was just the three of us yapping, acting like we know things, but let's be honest.
We're essentially trying to bring back prime the podcast.
Yes. And we're like, imagine LeBron in 2018, right? Like where it's like, people don't think we got it in us, but we got something coming, you know? So, yeah, I'm super excited. It's going to be fun to...
Z was rusty. He didn't pause that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's crazy. See, we're getting old.
You guys gotta let us settle back in. But I will say this. The one thing we can promise is that unless they offer me a $10 million insane lucrative deal and full control to still run things, we're not going to sign to a label. We're not going to fall into that trap again of putting our name and our reputation in the hands of somebody else. Cause at the end of the day, you know, to be fair to whoever does run things, they're going to care about their rep more than ours. Right. So I think the best way to stay authentic to our brand, the best way to stay authentic to you guys, and the best way to bring the best possible content is to be run by us. Which leads me into my next point. In the time that I've been off, so I'm going to give you guys a stage after to explain where you guys have been. But I know people, like if you follow my socials, you see I don't really post much anymore. I took a step back. I was in school. My hardest semester. Yeah, I'm an engineering student, so I got destroyed. And in my free time, I actually ended up working on my business, Zany Media. We're a marketing company. We also manage, you know, different people's accounts. And I'm grateful I did it. I still do run it because I'm able to now fully run the podcast or Yam Time for us in the background. So that these two boys can make sure to really focus on their brands as well, because obviously they both of them have really done bits when it comes to the social end of things. And I've now possess the necessary skill set to make sure that we run smoothly. And it's as if we're signed to Zany Media, right? Like we have full say in what we do. And that way, you know, every problem is in our hands and we can fix it instead of waiting around for you know, essentially things not to be done. But I'm going to give Hoop and Z, I don't know who wants to go first. You guys can kind of talk about what you guys have been doing.
Hoop, you got to go. You got to go.
All right.
I'm coming back like The Rock. Like, I'm going to return.
So, when did we leave off, Zany?
October. Like... Westbrook. I'm happy. You know, I'll say this about the deep dives. I'm happy we got a Westbrook episode out. And then we stopped. And then...
Basically... Ever since Z left and just trying to go into the when we transitioned into a different type of episode that required more research and it was less off the dome, I guess, I had always been like Hoopology first in trying to grow my stuff. So it got really like tedious to the point where the pod was no longer fun for me. and it was fun when we were just chilling and joking around, but when things got too serious and it was like just trying to you know, do it for as a business move, I realized there was no point in it. So since October, I don't know what the growth has been on my page, but basically back when we were all together, my TikTok has shot up. I'm sitting around 1.4 million there, which I'm super excited about. I'm trying to transition into some YouTube stuff, some longer form stuff, just trying to make this into a full time.
So how you doing YouTube stuff?
It's funny you ask. Saini is my editor and he is my partner. Shout out Lex. He's also
Shout out Lex and Jesse, my team. I don't want you guys thinking me and Hoop just weren't talking during the time off. Like, yeah. We're all still connected.
We took about 3 months to pump out a Julius Randle 40-minute documentary, which
it was beautiful.
The greatest video I've ever seen in my life.
I will plug right here. I will do that shamelessly. But yeah, aside from that, I mean, it's just been going really well for like as my personal brand. But there's still more to be done in terms of trying to just make this into a full-time career and something like, you know, my dream coming true. So I'm really happy that things have blown up, but I'm not satisfied, obviously. And even though the pod was something that was like really tough to kind of get back into because I thought it would be a lot of work, Sandy kind of, you know, did some convincing. And now that this could be just something that's, you know, fun, I'm down for a good time, you know? Like, I just want to screw around and, like, make fun of your guys' teams and, like, just get back into that kind of bag, you know?
Like, prime the podcast. We're yam time now. Le podcast is a French saying. It has nothing to do with the name of a certain individual. Le podcast, but, yeah. No, Z, I'm excited. I want to hear Z's return.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. Hell is frozen over. I am back. Good Lord. You may be wondering where I've been, and I've been pretty much all over the place. Like Hoop mentioned, the last time that we were all together, our TikToks were at different points.
What is he doing? Why?
Bruh.
For Spotify listeners, Z, I'm sorry that you had to get cut off like that. But for Spotify listeners, Hoop apparently has been on his self-development type. We're gonna resist cussing here, but Hoop has been on his self-development stuff apparently, and he just pulled out like a 4-liter water jug and just started chugging it. In the middle, and he was muted. Like he didn't want to hear the big old gulps pause.
So I'm saying, so
because I know he was. I know that. Hold on. That was running down his. I was pause. I wasn't gonna say something crazy.
I completely forgot that this was like not normal. I'm doing 75 hard with some friends, which is like, you know, you stick to a diet for 75 days, drink a gallon of water. So I got my gallon jug here.
Respect. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I was interrupted by the Gulp Monster. But
I might got to run to the bathroom a couple times after. It's all right.
Bro's trying to do the John Cena cleanse. I feel it. Anyway, so I was gone for a while. Like Hoop alluded to, our TikToks were at different places. Our socials in general were at different places by the last time we were together. Since then, I'm at like 63K now. Since switching up my content, by the way, shout out to these two boys. Switching up my content, more voiceover work. I dealt with a lot of comments saying that I was bro trying to be like Hoopology. And I'd be like, bro.
Oh, I know. I got the like, same thing. I'd
be like, Saini did the same thing for a
bit. I get the same thing. And you know what's so funny? Z, I know you relate to this so much. I read those comments and I'm like, bro, who do you think told me to do this? Who do you think taught me how to do this? Why do you think it's emulated so well? It's because I literally sat down with Hoop and he showed me bar for bar. I wasn't like claiming for it to be like my original content. I was shamelessly doing it, but it's like they didn't realize that this guy was on the phone with us like every day telling us, oh, you need to go on CapCut and then you need to record the overlay and then do this and just record a YouTube video with your phone. Like, what do you think I got the formula from?
That's what I'm saying, bro. We were out there, me and Sandy out there balling like prime Kobe. This is our Phil Jackson right here. Bro, this is like the guy.
Hoop, I remember one time Hoop commented on my post saying like, mm-hmm. guys, like I told them to
clear
to do
the
this.
Air because they
and
were
and then
like
somebody replied
you.
To that comment, bro wants to be Hoopology. And I was like, it can't be done. But hey, whatever.
I appreciate all the goons I have out there, but like, you gotta relax a little bit. You know?
Who has a little mafia running around NBA TikTok?
Literally. But yeah, man, I've been doing that. I've been dabbling in with Player's Choice. Those are my guys. They picked me up when I was a free agent. You know what I'm saying? I did a Lakerland show with Lightout Sports. If y'all remember, my first ever co-host for any podcast I was a part of. Shout out Lightout. You suck, by the way. And so we've been chilling, you know. I got a call from my boys saying we wanted to run it back. All I'll say about the past encounter that we did have is that at one point I was following 900 people on Instagram, and then after that I was following 899. So, you know, you might take a guess as to who that was, but it was somebody's favorite basketball page. Anyway. Moving forward, I know we're not going to get into it. We're not going to get into it, but I am ZZ Huncho, so I will get something off. We're back. Yam time. Full effect. It's
time. I will say, you know, we had this call already, Z, but I am, you know, forever grateful for you to come back. Obviously, it truly isn't the same. It truly was not the same as serious as we try to get. I think, again, me and Hoop had this call with you. We discussed it, but I'll say this publicly too. Like, it was a mistake also on mine and Hoop's end to kind of have that idea implemented that we need to take more of a business D route when we didn't. The end of the day was about having fun. And the second you treat it the way me and Hoop treated it, you know, obviously it got stressful. It was mentally draining. And like, bro, like Hoop would just say some out of pocket things and nobody would pause. And I just, I'd have to sit there crying in the inside. You know, I had to sit there, you know, just, it was a tough time, you know, to hear all those comments. No, but seriously.
We're back.
I mean, that's a little gist. I mean, we're going to do a short segment for you guys here because, you know, we're not going to just only talk and then the episode here. We have to have some sort of banter. So
I got to take my sweatshirt off for this.
We just got to mention this. Hoop, me and you, obviously, we're living life. And our poor friend, ZZ Huncho here, hopped on the bandwagon a little too late. So let's get this straight. Let me get something straight here, okay? When did Z hop on it? When they won the ring, right? The year they won the ring, Z becomes a Warriors fan, right?
I believe it was that offseason.
It was that offseason.
Off-season, my birthday.
So somehow he was a Warriors fan. And then obviously I was 10 toes with Oklahoma. I will also attest to this.
Don't just say that. Like, he took the whole LeBron like decision route. Like, I'm there. I'm thinking Milwaukee or Golden State. I'm going Golden State.
I remember because we started recording in June. He was like, July, I'm making my decision. I'm going to sit here. And we're getting, so I was expecting like an actual, like, I was honestly thinking Miami just because of the way he set it up. But anyway, I can attest to this too, so nobody can call me a bandwagon. Now that Oklahoma is currently first in the West,
right?
Genuinely, I have been with that team, and people are going to say, oh, he was there because the KD Russ era. Bro, you can go on my TikTok. You will not find... Bro, Oklahoma follows me because of the dirty work I did in the trenches for that team. in the time that we didn't have no fans. Nobody cared about Oklahoma in 2021. Nobody cared about Oklahoma in 2022. 2023, the memes came out about the draft pick. So it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we have some fans come in because they know the future's there. But I was there every day of my life. Every day of my life, I sat on that team, and we are number one in the West now. And the fact that I could come somewhere publicly and be proud of that, because obviously I stopped socials for a bit. I have a lot, like I'm focusing a lot on the background of things now for everybody's pages. But number one in the West, and Golden State isn't even in the play-in. They're not even in the play-in. How does Steph Curry drop 60 points? 60 points. And
shout
lose.
Out Killer Clay
and lose, bro. I swear to bro, I never have been, and I love Curry with the bottom of my heart, but I hate the Warriors. I've never seen a downfall. The second Draymond Green swung at Jordan Poole, it's over. I was like, it's done. It's beautiful. It's beautiful basketball.
I'm gonna say it's ironic that the team that I left behind was Hoops Knicks. It's very ironic that they're sitting with the third seed in the Eastern Conference right now.
They're fourth
because the Cavs have a...
No, I'm kidding. Look, it's hilarious. But hey, look, I like everything that I'm seeing. I'm not going to be that type of hater. You know what I'm saying? I like the fact that New York is doing that thing. Shout out to Stephen A. and Spike Lee or Tracy Morgan or whoever.
Don't put Stephen A. in this mix.
He is in the mix. No, he's not. And it's embarrassing, but he is in the mix.
He hates this team. He has never approved anything going on with this franchise.
He hated when they win, Jackson,
he's all happy.
James Dolan, Melo when he was there.
Bro, yeah, honestly, I talk about me having it rough, but I didn't, like, who had it? Who has had it bad?
You don't understand. I have been, like, to the death. You know those memes where they got Patrick Starr held up by the chains?
Yeah.
That's me for Julius Randle for the last 4 years of NBA basketball. You know how difficult that is? That is a one versus everyone situation.
Bro, there's
and
a
it's, 40-minute it's coming to fruition.
There's a 40 it's coming to fruition. There's a 40-minute documentary Hoop made on this man.
Yes.
So let me ask you this question. Just because I'm going to take a little segue here, but the Patrick Starr meme.
Yeah.
Right, so Hoop is on the fences for Hoop is Patrick Starr for Julius Randle. I am Patrick Starr for Klay Thompson. Saini is Patrick Starr.
We're going to have to test that.
Saini is Patrick Starr for Josh Giddey. Let's be real. Let's be real.
Hey.
Over under on Josh. 15 and a half. Talk to me.
Bro, now I'll say this. About the just bro, like I'll be honest, like it was a good time for me to take a break from social media because that was a great bro. I was getting DMs like crazy, and I haven't made a video in like 4 months. Like I found out from my DMs, right? Because I was getting destroyed with school, bro. Like school, like bro, electrical engineering is no joke. So I'm getting destroyed, and it was like midterm season. I'm sitting there trying to muster up a 40, and Josh is out here apparently mustering up a 16. Right? I was sick to my stomach. No, but I'm making this joke. No, there's a reason I'm making this joke, and I can publicly make these jokes now. Right, he's innocent. Like they found him innocent. So we're just making lighthearted jokes. Poor guy. The story I heard was that the girl had a fake ID, went to the club, blah blah.
Yeah, I heard that.
And like, bro, like he met her in the club, and he was like 19 at the time. So like, and she was like, realistically, like if she has a fake, like what's he gonna do? Right? It's not like he was like a 28-year-old like old man. Who
is like, Karl Malone type?
You know, like even if she is legal, like bro, is she legal? You know what I mean? It wasn't that type of situation. So I still like I respect Giddey for sticking through it. I felt bad, bro, because you can only imagine how it feels to have your name dragged through the mud like that when it's like a situation that's out of your hands. And apparently, he told the NBA about it right when it happened in last year, and they're aware of it. They were aware of it, and the police couldn't find anything in the investigation. Like it was just a. It was just an unfortunate event. So that's the only reason I'm making a joke. Giddey, I love you still. You know, I knew deep down you were a good guy. And I hope that it is the fact that you're a good guy and you just didn't get away with it. But you know, I'm inclined to believe you. And he's been great. He's been great for us. He just had 24 against the Raptors. So that's the only reason I'm making a joke. I don't want people to think I'm a hater. But I'm Patrick Starr for Westbrook, bro. Come on, how do we not?
How do we not say that?
And you guys see the Clippers lately? You guys see Westbrook lately? I'm on the biggest high of my life in terms of being a basketball fan in the regular season.
Hey, as a Kawhi Leonard fan, I'm digging it too.
Yeah, man, they're good. They're good.
I said it. I was on Playback yesterday doing a live stream, and I said that the one person that I'm going to give the most credit to for the Clippers' success is Russell Westbrook, head and shoulders over everybody else. I don't care. Kawhi's been solid. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. James Harden's been another great regular season performance from James Harden.
I forgot Z is
the greatest regular season. Not in the regular season.
Oh my god.
Don't get me wrong, Harden, greatest regular season merchant of all time. Jarrell would be a close second. But good lord, I can't wait for the postseason to get here.
Bro,
but
think about it. Hypothetically, Kawhi's healthy, right? Like screw Paul George. Like I love Paul George, but like not thinking of Paul George right now. Kawhi's healthy, arguably one of the best playoff performers of all time. You're giving James Harden that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is why I actually genuinely believe that this Clippers team is the favorite. Like, I think even if the Celtics go up against them, the Clippers win.
I agree with that 100%. Think about it
this way. The Clippers are, what, one game back from the first seed as of February 5th? Or February 5th before the game started. So or February 4th. Let's just say as of February 4th. The Clippers are, what, one game back from the one seed? And what was their record when Harden first got there? Right? Like, they were terrible.
Yeah.
It took them, like, 15 games to figure it out. And they're like 11-3 in the month of January. They don't lose. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, and Kawhi, we've never seen, and I pray to God that PG and Kawhi stay healthy and that whole team stays healthy. But the fact that we actually are seeing Kawhi play basketball in the regular season, he's an all-star starter. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought I would see that day again. Paul George is an all-star. I know people want to argue that he doesn't deserve the spot, but at the end of the day, he's playing at an all-star level. You can argue that somebody else deserved his spot, but there's so much talent in the league that I don't care. Like, I'm not mad that Paul George is an all-star.
Wasn't he at a solid, like, 26, 27 in game before Harden came over?
Yeah, like, he's a good bro. Like, I'm not mad that Paul George is an all-star. I get why people are mad because, like, obviously, like, Sabonis fans and, like, all these De'Aaron Fox fans, even though he's not a guard.
Bro, but, like, I don't know how Cat made over Sabonis.
Yeah, like, that's crazy, right? Like, I think there's other players you can argue. But either way, the Clippers are playing the best basketball they've played, I think, ever. I think this is the best Clippers basketball we've ever seen in the history of the Clippers. And again, credit to Westbrook, bro. He gets the least amount of minutes on that team, but I think he brings most energy, right? Like, he played the least amount of minutes the last game. He played only 15 minutes. But it works, you know? And as a Westbrook fan, I can swallow my pride and just please get him a ring. I don't care how it's done anymore. I just really need to see a ring on. And bro, like, think about that, like, what we can get from a Clippers championship, a Harden PG Russ ring. That is an insane lineup of guys who don't have a ring that finally get theirs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would be a good day. Like, that is a team that the NBA should push to get a ring. Like, let's be real. Like, bro, like, ain't nobody want to see the Warriors win for the next 50 years, right? Bucks already got one. Bucks already got one. Sorry, I lagged a bit.
You know who could use a ring?
Derrick Rose.
I was just going to say the Knicks, but
anyway, like, the Clippers are the best team to get a ring right now because, again, they'd have a banner in their new arena. Like, it seems like written in the stars because they're having that all-star game in Los Angeles, the next one, right? Or the one after, whatever. So to have the banner unveiled in their new arena next season with Harden, PG, Russ, Kawhi would cement himself really, like, after the time he's taken off, like, as a guy where it's like, I don't care. As long as Kawhi's playing, he's better than any player you'll put in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see, and Tyronn Lue will beat the LeBron allegations, you know, like,
he already beat him.
Yeah.
The fact, like, that he's still been coaching for this long, like,
but you guys see that Doc Rivers got the all-star now.
Yes.
Three basketball
bro,
games.
And you know what's so shameless of him? He goes, yeah, I'll let Adrian Griffin share the coaching role with me. Share it.
Yeah.
Share it. What did you do?
Hey, I'm just glad we don't got to hear his raspy voice on the TNT crew, the ESPN crew, whatever it is.
He got something on the league, bro. He got to. There's no there's no way that he's gotten this many coaches.
Didn't he blow a double-digit lead, or am I tripping already?
He's 1-2 so far, I think, with the Bucks. Like, in his first three games before they had given him.
I thought they had a nice comeback on the Mavs. That was like a 20-point comeback.
Oh, maybe it was the opposite. Maybe
that's definitely enough to get the all-star coaching job.
Well, the craziest thing to me is like Adrian,
the worst defensive team ever.
Yeah, no, the craziest thing to me is that Adrian Griffin, literally, they were the third seed when he got fired. They had lost less than 15 games throughout his.
If you speak to Bucks fans, mm-hmm. it was due.
They hate him. Yeah.
So here's my thing.
Dame is underperforming as well. Dame,
he is exactly. But even if Milwaukee, I got Milwaukee exactly. Politics, kid. But I've said it before. Even with Milwaukee fans thinking that he needed to go, the front office was like, all right, what are our biggest problems? Dame, who we banked for, is underperforming, and we can't play defense. Where do we go from here? Doc Rivers. What's happening right now?
Yeah, no, that's
what is
crazy.
Genuinely
that's
happening?
Crazy. That's the craziest thing I've seen.
I think I'm not saying it's a good explanation, but I think the explanation is that you're bringing in a guy mid-year who needs to have the locker room. And Doc is someone who, for whatever reason, is still respected by players for a ring he won 15 years ago. So I think that might be your best bet for a short term to pull this thing together.
I'll say this. Every single one of Doc Rivers' teams, the teams he's had, haven't really had success since he left anyway, right? Like, we can put a lot of blame on Doc Rivers, of course. But for example, like the Sixers, like, what have the Sixers done since Doc Rivers left, right?
They've been frying with Embiid, to be fair.
They're good.
No, they were very good. without, I'm saying with Nick Nurse, he was a huge upgrade.
I 100%, right? But I'm just saying.
They didn't have time to do anything. The playoffs didn't reach yet. What are you talking about?
Just listen. Let me get my point up. Doc Rivers has yet to be put in a situation where we know that team succeeded without him, right? So I'm interested to see what would Doc Rivers do.
The Bucks? Did they not win a ring?
That's my point. We've never seen Doc Rivers get put in a situation where they succeeded without him before Doc Rivers came. So now I know if the Bucks underperform or if the Bucks pull some crazy whatever, I'm going to be like, all right, this is the Doc Rivers problem. Because look at the Clippers, for example, right? You go listen to JJ Redick's podcast, whatever. That locker room hated each other. They were not connected whatsoever. Like, that was not, like, on paper, they were great. They're not connected. You go to the Sixers, the whole Ben Simmons drama, right? Like, that fell on Doc Rivers' lap. What is he supposed to do about that? Right. So I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt in terms of, like, I know the situation worked for Milwaukee. They have a great team. You have a DPOY in Brooke Lopez, a DPOY candidate in Brooke Lopez. Bobby Portis is the second coming of Michael Jordan, apparently. Giannis is Giannis. And then you have Damian Lillard, who 25-7 is underperforming for Lillard, which is very good still for a starting point guard. Right. So now I know if Doc Rivers messes this up, then I will truly give no credibility to Doc Rivers and write him off as a coach. But when I look back on Doc Rivers' situations, I do have to give him the benefit of the doubt of it wasn't just a him problem. You know what I mean? Like, look at those teams. Like, that Clippers team was dysfunctional as hell. Blake Griffin was like punching trainers and breaking his hand. Yeah. And Chris Paul was getting injured every second day, right? Like, they blew a 3-1 comeback to the Blazers, or was it a 3-1 comeback with the Blazers because Austin Rivers had a turn up? Or was that just they lost to the Blazers because Austin Rivers had a turn up?
I think
Chris Paul got out, Blake, whatever. And then you go to the Sixers and Ben Simmons passes that layup up, right? That's not a Doc Rivers. You can't, no matter how good of a coach you are, you cannot stop that. You cannot stop somebody passing that, making that decision, right?
I'll say that too. I gave him the benefit of the doubt last year in the postseason when Harden crapped the bed. Because here's my thing. I remember the Discord being like on my ass, like when Harden dropped 40. And
Embiid was not in the right spot.
Exactly. Embiid was also hurt too. So once again, out of Doc's control.
That's Doc Rivers. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, that's why. So it's like now with this team, let's see what Doc Rivers does, and then if he messes this up, then I will officially write off Doc Rivers as a coach.
If Doc messes this up, he is officially no longer a coach. He is a terrorist. Bro is an imposter at this point. Like, no, we can't give him no more chance. His son, they already said no to Austin a couple years ago. Now Austin is trying to find relevancy again on podcasts and in Turkish leagues. But Doc Rivers, if he messes up again, bro.
See what Austin Rivers said? He was like, I don't want Bronny to play with LeBron.
Yeah. Like, he just hating it. He on his Gilbert Arenas type stuff. He don't know what to do.
Bro, I
there's too many guys on podcasts. I'm getting upset because Melo's turned into an old head hater.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we have to see this? So let's relax.
You know who would have been so cold if he never opened his mouth? Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He would have been so, like, his highlight tapes would be so much colder if he just never talked.
I know this is going to be a short episode, but I talked to Z about this briefly before Hoop joined, so I want to throw a curveball at Hoop here because this is a Gilbert Arenas, as you mentioned.
Bro, I just don't get to talk about my Knicks, but it's okay.
Oh, talk about your Knicks. You got time. We went on a rant. Yeah, we got time, bro. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, you know, I'm trying to keep this on the low because the Knicks have not been this good my entire lifetime. They haven't. What are you going to say?
I was going to say Brunson has been your best acquirement since Patrick Ewing.
Better than Melo?
Yeah. I'll be honest, bro. Melo did not get you playoff success.
Well, it's also team.
Team and everything, well. Sure. Like, Melo's legendary New York. Knicks fans are going to hate me for saying that. But Brunson, to me, is beautiful. Bro, he plays beautiful basketball. I love him. I might be biased because I'm a huge Brunson fan. But I think Brunson is going to do more for New York than Melo did.
I don't think that's crazy. The footwork, when I first saw him come to New York, I was ready to put him, like, literally on the level footwork wise of, like, Kobe Bryant. Like, that dude, his footwork is like, he's like Matt. 6 foot flat, 6'1". Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anyone else that size that has gotten his way consistently since AI.
Beautiful.
Is there another guy?
No. Especially from the mid-range too. Like
at
bro,
6'1"? No. Yeah, the closest guy I can think of is what Donovan Mitchell is 6'2".
Hold on, Jamal Murray.
Oh, that's true. Donovan Mitchell short.
Donovan Mitchell short.
Think about Jamal.
One-on-one, there's no comparison.
No. Well, Jamal. The only reason I'm saying Jamal is because Jamal's footwork is underrated to me. I remember watching him play. I forgot what it was. Not Brunson. They told me that Jamal Murray in high school, maybe in high school, middle school, he had played center. Like, for some reason, for whatever team he was on back when he was little. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the footwork developed there. So when you saw some of the good performances that he had, like, last year in the postseason, I'm looking at him and I'm like, yo, his footwork, not personally, I don't think it's better than Jalen Brunson. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it's underrated to a fault because bro used to play center. So it's like he has the fundamentals down packed with him patented mid-range fadeaways and stuff. But Brunson, different level. I feel you.
In one-on-one situations, like – I mean, in terms of scoring guards, I don't know if there's that many. In terms of point guards, is there a point guard in the East that is a better player than Jalen Brunson?
How is he not starting? How did Damian Lillard turning over him is a crime. It's a crime.
I will admit there's times where Jalen Brunson has tunnel vision. I think it's really opened up now that Randall has gone out because he's forced to be the table setter more.
Yeah.
But now that these guys like Precious Achiuwa is getting minutes and he's getting like big time like defensive stops and they're kind of finding Isaiah Hartenstein is going to get a bag this offseason because of Mitch being out. It's very similar to the Nerlens Noel situation in 2021 where Mitch went down and they had someone huge step up. Difference between this and 2021 is that 2021 was just, it was a cute year. Mm. Hey, we got regular season wins. We're back in the playoffs. This is like, okay, these dudes are serious. Because however inconsistent or non-translatable you want to say Randall's game is to the playoffs, which I think it's gotten much more so now that he's playing more bully ball than these step back threes. Jalen Brunson can close, so like you get it close enough with the defense and OG's a big step up from RJ and them, like,
bro. Woo! OG is probably the best trade I've seen the Knicks pull off in my memory. Like I don't remember the Knicks pulling off a better trade.
A nice Malcolm Brogdon off the bench. Some nice like and veteran.
And bro, Malcolm
Brogdon's
gonna be cheap, man. Like they need to get rid of him, right? Like that Blazers team, like they you can get him for a first round pick, two first round picks.
Yeah,
maybe.
I love Deuce and Quentin Grimes. We'd have to keep one of them. But in terms of like
losing quickly had a hurt. Losing quickly had a hurt.
It did, but it's not that bad when you're winning. You know, I love Emmanuel quickly.
Do you need him realistically?
But as of right now, we don't. No. And I think if you get Brogdon for a first and Grimes. Which I'd rather keep Grimes than McBride, but that's up for debate. The Knicks are pretty serious, man.
But here's the thing, like Grimes isn't your make or break franchise player. You need to win now, right? Exactly. Like you need to make that decision. Like do you want a above average role player for the future or do you want to win? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of people, like, as much as I love Emmanuel quickly and I think that he can develop into an all-star, let's say in Toronto, realistically that wasn't gonna happen in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
He was a nice He never translated to the playoffs either year he was in, and it was different in 2021 because that was year one. But 2023 he didn't do anything either, and that kind of got thrown under the radar. So to open it up to McBride, who was not getting minutes and is now like really rising in some stock, if we were to ship him out and get some in return, Brunson is ready to win now, and like you need to take advantage because if you screw around with the Knicks, we're not gonna completely overpower some of these bigger teams, but you can't screw up against us. Like I forget our record against under 500 teams, but like if you play bad, like the Knicks take advantage, you know.
It's gonna be interesting. This postseason is gonna be a hell of a postseason because there is genuinely so much talent in the like the West, especially. Is
Cleveland's
like,
playing great too, by the way.
Jared Allen. Yeah, like he's balling. But I want to leave on this segment because I talked to Z about it and he mentioned Gilbert Arenas and it's in my mind. And I have a very great counterpoint to make to Gilbert Arenas when he said this, and I will mention mine, but I want to get Hoop's opinion and Z's opinion live. Gilbert Arenas mentioned that he would rather take Anthony Edwards over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because Anthony Edwards is in a better spot at this point in his career than Shai was when Shai was at Anthony Edwards like year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'll say to that point before I let you guys take the stage.
Are we saying like take them for the rest of their career? Or just right now?
Like I'd rather start a franchise with Ant, or I want Ant over Shai, whatever. But I'm assuming because he said like at this point in his career, Anthony Edwards was better than Shai. Here's the thing about Shai and here's the thing about Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards was drafted as a first overall pick to a Minnesota Timberwolves team that had no identity when they drafted him. It was Karl Anthony Towns, the Chihuahua, and this was before Rudy Gobert, right? Like they were not a good team whatsoever. That's a reason they had the number one pick, right? And when you're a number one pick, what's going to happen? You're going to get fed the ball 24/7. You're going to be the main center of attention. They're going to develop the hell out of you, and you're going to be in a much better spot if you play your cards right. For example, Paulo Banchero, right? Like, he's amazing now because all they did was feed him the ball and give him the touches and give him the opportunities to learn from his mistakes as quick as possible. You take a guy like Shea, who was drafted 11th to a Clippers team that made the playoffs and took the Warriors to 6 games. And then the year after his rookie season, when he was making a name for himself on that team, he gets traded to Oklahoma. But this isn't a taking Oklahoma, because we still have Dennis Schroeder, Steven Adams, Chris Paul. Like, we still have a bunch of vets that Oklahoma is clearly trying to flip for assets. So we make the playoffs and take the Rockets to 7 games with Chris Paul at the forefront. And again, like, Shea averaged like 16, I think 17 that season, which is still great for being like the third option. People forget Gallinari was a bucket on Oklahoma, right? Like, he was nice. He was scoring for us like crazy. We had Schroeder come off the bench. Like, we had a solid team. And that's the reason why we made the playoffs as a 5th seed, tied with the Rockets as the 4th seed, right? And then Chris Paul leaves, all these guys leave. And then Shea realistically gets put in the same situation as Anthony Edwards was in his 1st year by the time he's in his 3rd year. So that's when Shea gets to take that leadership role. And that's when Shea gets to really have a team for himself. And it took him, what, 3 seasons before he became the 1st seed in the West? It's basically the same timeline as Anthony Edwards. Shea just had the extra years of being on a playoff team with playoff experience with his 1st 2 seasons, which is something he can't control. He was put in a different situation. I guarantee you put Shea in the same situation as Anthony Edwards is in, and he'll develop the same way, if not better, because Shea is a better player than Anthony Edwards right now. It's clear that he is. And I think that he'll continue to be a better player as his career goes on, because to me, Shea is a more complete better player. He's much better defensively to me. Offensively, they're about the same. If anything, Shea's a little better, because I think Shea has better footwork. His mid-range game is lethal. His efficiency is at an all-time high. Bro, 55%, 32 points per game. Are you crazy as a guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shea can finish out games much better than Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards has not really shown me he's just clutch. Shea has shown me he's one of the clutchest players in the league time and time again. And I've constantly brought this up with you guys when we were doing the OG episodes. I was like, watch out for Shea, right? Because that guy's clutch.
You remember
he's
that,
one of the most clutch
TikTok
players in the league.
You remember that clip where Sadie was like, the hoop was like, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 player going into this season. And then Sadie's like, oh, you really believe that? And then I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 player either. Literally that season, he was a top 10 player last
and
season.
And he's going to be MVP now that Embiid's out. I don't think they're going to give it to Jokic because voter fatigue. I genuinely think this is Shea's year to win the MVP, because the one thing he has over Luka is the 1st seed, which is a very hard thing to get. And bro, I'm telling you, I don't just spew things. Like, I spewed the Detroit Pistons take being better than the Knicks. I spew sometimes. But a lot of my hot takes have some credibility. Hoop, who put you on Jalen Williams?
No, you did.
I texted Hoop in like the 1st week of last season. I texted him, this guy, Jalen Williams, make a video on him. He's going to be a great player. I promise you. Hoop didn't even know the guy existed. And I told him, this is the biggest steal I've seen Oklahoma do in recent memory is Jalen Williams. That guy is cold. And I said, Shea is going to be, I have something in my heart. Like, bro, when it comes to Oklahoma players, I know deep down what our potential is. And I'm going to tell you right now, to Gilbert Arenas' point, I think it's unfair to compare the two at whatever stage Anthony Edwards' career is at compared to what stage Shea's was at that time. Because, bro, they were in two completely different situations. And Anthony Edwards had Minnesota trade away all of their assets for Rudy Gobert and build themselves a decent play. Or not decent, they're second in the West. Built themselves a credible playoff team, right? Oklahoma didn't do that. Oklahoma built through the draft. Oklahoma took a different route.
I was going to say, in terms of the different situations, I think, well, the hypothetical sounds nice that like Shea would have developed quicker. I mean, I was not watching many early Clippers games with him. But in terms of the play style they have, obviously Shea is more refined. So in terms of like giving someone the keys without that uber athleticism, to like help them, like give them a head start on everyone, means I don't know if Shea would have, you know, and this is kind of irrelevant because I do think Shea is the better player. And considering he controls more of the offense, I'd want him on my team instead of Ant. If Ant was more of a dominant ball handler, I'm trying to like maybe more like a Dwayne Wade, where you're more comfortable in that kind of setting. I might lean Ant because I've seen it in the playoffs. But I have no reason to doubt that Shea would drop that much, considering with how much work he does in the mid-range.
And he has playoff experience, and he's played good in the playoffs in the years he was there. Bro, he was crucial for the Clippers, surprisingly, mm-hmm. and when they took the Warriors to 6 games, and they took the Rockets with James Harden and Westbrook to 7 games, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that Rockets team might not look great when they played the Lakers, but, bro, this is a sophomore of Shea with an undrafted Lou Dort and a 35-year-old Chris Paul. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All that to say...
And they only lost by a point, too.
Yeah. They lost on a Lou Dort, like, getting blocked by Harden, and it was the Lou Dort in his mm-hmm. rookie season, bro. Like, that is, like, that is literally losing by a single hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, I do need to, you know, hop off soon. But
yeah,
I will say to you, considering Oklahoma has one of the most maybe nerve-wracking, but also, like, crazy spots in terms of what your GM can do, mm-hmm. what if you're the one seed in the West and you still kind of, like, have, like, low-key, like, developmental pieces on your team, like, you're not really, you know what I mean? Like, it's not,
you're not there yet. Potential-wise, you're not there yet.
I'm saying, like, how would you go about it in terms of, would you flip for vets now? Would you just mess around with, like, and try to
the only
more?
Move, there are two moves that I would approve for Oklahoma to do, and I think it's the only two moves that I can possibly see them doing. Number one is trading for Lauri Markkanen. I think that if we were to bring in another big name, we trade for Lauri Markkanen, mm-hmm. okay? If you can't bring in Lauri Markkanen to play at the 4 and 5 with Chet and him, the only thing you do is trade a couple second-round picks, maybe one first-round pick because we have the picks to do it, and you bring a guy, Andre Drummond. Because the only thing we need is rebounding. That's the mm-hmm. only thing Oklahoma lacks in, and I'm willing to sacrifice a draft pick for Andre Drummond because he's a great rebounder, and we know he's a very gritty guy. He just had a 2020 game.
The clumsiness.
Big penguin.
Bro, but thing, we're such a young, energetic team that we can afford to have a guy like Andre Drummond on the court because mm-hmm. we just need those scrappy boards. And we need Chet to be around somebody to teach him how to be scrappy.
Yeah, we could afford having his deficiencies on the court.
We can. Like, we can, realistically,
no,
bro.
I
right?
get what you mean.
And, like, bro, like, we'll see what Oklahoma does. In my opinion, I think Andre Drummond is the perfect realistic trade candidate for them. And if we're really shooting for the stars, we go for a Lauri Markkanen.
I like that.
But I think that's a great way to end the episode. This was, bro, we were planning to do like a 15-minute episode. This is how easy it is for us to record like this. Like, we just spitball.
Hold on. Because what did Clay shoot the other night? Hold on.
Oh, my God.
I have to get one more shot off.
Yes, now we got to do this.
Don't jinx him tonight.
Defend that.
I'll be on next week after what he do tonight. Don't jinx him. Don't jinx him now. Stop playing with him. He's 3-for-6 right now. That's efficient.
I can be 3-for-6 if you give me enough games where I just get to shoot open shots. I'm joking. No. Your boy Clay is shooting 3-for-6, but Curry has 3 assists and 2 turnovers at the moment. But anyways, this is a great way to wrap up the episode. This has been super fun, obviously. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, episodes are going to be a little more structured. I know we just went through like 7 segments, even though we said we're only doing one. but that's just the fun of it. Thank you guys again for sticking around for the last few months. We're excited to bring you guys consistent output of episodes again. It's going to be super fun. But yeah, let's keep the ball rolling. Peace.
Peace.
Z, we